How's it going, y'all? It's Nick here. So, in case you haven't heard, this weekend is WrestleMania 40 happening in Philadelphia at Lincoln Financial Field. And Maddie and I were going to do a pod this week, but we decided to wait to do a WrestleMania recap sometime next week is the plan. So we're not able to convene to discuss the show before it happens, but we have agreed to both submit our predictions and preview the entire show. It's a two-night extravaganza happening on Saturday and Sunday. Manny has recorded his thoughts and predictions separately. Where they apply, I will insert his predictions for each match as we go. We're going to go in order, starting on night one, then move into night two. There is a leaked order, supposedly, of the match order for both nights, so I'm just going to go by that, and we're going to predict the matches in that order. So, without any further ado, let's get going. So, on night one, the supposed kickoff match is going to be for the Women's World Championship over on Raw. We have Rhea Ripley of the Judgment Day defending against Becky Lynch. Becky won the Elimination Chamber back in Australia about a month ago to win this opportunity. This is a match that we haven't really seen before. It happened about 5 years ago in NXT, but it was just kind of a no contest. They were doing some wackiness leading up to Survivor Series. Not much of a match, and they've been kept apart largely for the last 5 years since then. Lots changed for both competitors here. Becky has gone away. She went on maternity leave. She came back. Turned heel, turned back babyface again. Rhea has gone through a few different character shifts, most recently, obviously, turning heel a couple years ago and joining the Judgment Day. Rhea won the championship a full year ago now. It was night one of WrestleMania last year when she beat Charlotte for it. And it's been, I don't want to say it's been a bad reign, but it's been very difficult to find challengers that are even remotely close to Rhea's level just because of how they presented her in this past year. She's been utterly dominant, and Becky's really the first opponent she's had that's actually felt like a true threat. They did a good job building up Nia Jax before last month's Elimination Chamber match against Rhea, which was the main event of the show in Rhea's home country, but you still never thought Nia was actually going to win the championship. This is the closest that Rhea's had to a threat, I think, overall, since she won the championship a year ago. But I don't think it's going to actually result in a new champion here. I think Rhea does defeat Becky on the start of night one. I think we get some roster reshuffling, hopefully after WrestleMania, and then we get some fresh new challengers in for Rhea. But I don't think Rhea's losing the championship just yet.
All right, folks, I am here. It's Manny to give my WrestleMania predictions. Now, unfortunately, I will not be able to watch all of night one when it airs, but I will be trying to keep up as much as I can. So let's just go through them all. We have the Women's World Champion between Rhea Ripley defending against Becky Lynch. I think Rhea keeps it. Mommy's had a hot streak. She's going to keep going. Becky's not going to be able to take that belt away from her, and she's only going to grow in more power.
Next up, we have the six-pack challenge ladder match for the Undisputed WWE Tag Team Championships. We have the champions, the Judgment Day, which is Finn Balor and Damian Priest, defending against DIY, which is Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa. The New Day, which is represented by Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods. Awesome Truth, which is R-Truth and The Miz. New Catch Republic over from SmackDown, which is Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate. And A-Town Down Under, which is Grayson Waller and Austin Theory. It feels like this match has changed a little bit. At one point, it seemed like it was just going to be Awesome Truth versus Judgment Day, and the story with R-Truth and Judgment Day has been going on since Rafter Survivor Series, I want to say. But this got changed, it seems, expanded into the six-pack challenge with teams from both Raw and SmackDown, which I find to be an interesting wrinkle here. And most recently on commentary, Michael Cole said this past week that the match ends when both sets of championships are retrieved, which I find to be interesting, very specific verbiage. If I had to guess, I think this means they're going to split the championships, have one team take one set of belts and one team take the other. It's going to be a very specific prediction on my part, but I think Awesome Truth will win the Raw Tag Team Championships. I think they'll get that, even if it's a short run, which I expect it to be. I think they will get a short run to pay off R-Truth's side of the story and his popularity. But I think A-Town Down Under, Waller and Theory are going to sneak away with the other half of the belts, the blue set of belts for SmackDown. I think these championships get split up again after being unified for the last 2 years. And I think those are the two teams that do it. This is going to be a fun match, probably one of the bigger spectacle matches on the show. We used to get multi-man ladder matches at WrestleMania all the time, whether it was Money in the Bank or just general ladder matches, tag team, or for the Intercontinental title we've had historically. So this is going to be a bit of a throwback to that. 12 people in the ladder match is quite a bit. That's the most I've seen in a ladder match in my life. The previous record, I think, was 10 for a Money in the Bank match back at WrestleMania 26, but yeah, 12 people in a ladder match is interesting, but this one has a good chance, I think, to steal the show. You have a lot of people who are going to try and get some big moments and, of course, the big stunts that you expect from a ladder match. But my predictions go with Awesome Truth for the Raw side and A Town Down Under for the SmackDown side. But it could just be one team winning it, and all that is just a red herring. Could very well be that way, but that would be my prediction.
Who would I like to see? Obviously, it's going to be R-Truth, because I just want to see him winning everything. Who's actually going to win? Probably Damian Priest and Finn Balor, but let's just hope it's a good one. Next up, we have Rey Mysterio and Dragon Lee versus Santos Escobar and Dominic Mysterio. I think Santos and Dominic are going to win this. I think we may start to see Carlito not be in love with the LWO anymore after he's been glazing Rey Mysterio for all this time and he's not his tag team partner. You know, it's kind of the perfect opportunity to do it. So I think, Carlito is going to get involved in some way.
Yeah, Dom hasn't had a lot going on recently, and it seems like a story within the Judgment Day is that they're not too happy with him going over to SmackDown and getting involved with another group with Legado del Fantasma. So that's a wrinkle going into this. Dragon Lee is the newest member of the LWO, and it seems like in the background, Carlito, another member of the LWO, might not be so happy that Dragon Lee has kind of upstaged him. People are expecting Carlito to turn on LWO and feud with Rey and or Dragon Lee after the match. I was expecting this to be an Escobar and Rey Mysterio one-on-one match, but obviously that's not the direction that they went here. This should be a fun Lucha match. I think the bad guys will take this one. I think the Carlito thing probably does happen, but I could see them holding off on it for the time being and waiting until sometime after WrestleMania for it. But I will take Escobar and Dom. Next up, we have brother versus brother, Jimmy Uso versus Jey Uso. This has happened with real brothers twice before. WrestleMania 10 with Bret and Owen Hart, WrestleMania 25 with Matt and Jeff Hardy, and then WrestleMania 40 now with Jimmy and Jey. So every 15 years at WrestleMania, you can expect real brothers to face off in a match. So when we get to WrestleMania 55, you can expect something. Yeah, this one feels, I would say, one of the more lopsided feeling matches on the show. Jey Uso is main event Jey Uso is his nickname that he's had for a while now. One of the most enduringly popular stars that they've had on the Raw side and in general since he split away last year. And Jimmy Uso is just cannon fodder, I guess, for lack of a better term. He's the lowest member on the totem pole of the bloodline. He's the one that takes all the pins, gets all the losses on live events and on TV. If there's someone from the bloodline that needs to lose, it ends up being Jimmy Uso. I don't think that changes for this match here. We might get some involvement from Solo Sikoa, but I think the interference is going to be focused more on later matches with the bloodline at this show. I think Jey Uso wins this match up here.
Let's go with main event Jey Uso, but also it's Jimmy and the bloodline are here, so they're probably going to mess with him in some way, shape, or form. Jade Cargill, Bianca Belair, and Naomi versus Damage Control, which is Asuka, Kairi Sane, and Dakota Kai. Listen, you put up those three powerhouses against Asuka, Kairi, and Dakota, I think Damage Control is getting beat. There's no way that Jay, Bianca, and Naomi don't win this. So that is who is going to win that match.
Damage Control has two matches, obviously, on this show. On night two, we have the Women's Championship match between Bayley and Io Sky. But they've also been not making friends with the rest of the SmackDown Women's roster. It's been Bianca Belair for the better part of 2 years now, who's had issues with them. Naomi, since she came back, has had issues with them as well. And most recently, Jade Cargill interjected into things. Jade just got signed to SmackDown, just showed up, and on her first night as an official member, she interjected herself into this story. She beat up all of Damage Control, and that's how we get to the six-woman match here. As Manny alluded to, we have, I guess, another mismatch, I guess you would say. We have two powerhouses on one side with Bianca and Jade Cargill, and Damage Control, who in their history has been known to lose quite a bit in these big matches, and I think that's what happens here. I think we get a huge showcase match for Jade Cargill. She's still relatively inexperienced, even though she's been around for a few years in AEW beforehand, hasn't wrestled a ton of matches, and I think this being a six-person match will help conceal some of those weaknesses as she continues to get better, improve, and train, and everything like that. But I think we get a dominant display from Jade in this match, and I think the match goes her team's way. Next up, we have the Intercontinental Championship match between Gunther and Sami Zayn. Sami won a gauntlet match to earn this opportunity. There's been an ongoing story with Sami for a little while now that he has maybe lost his confidence. He was struggling to find a path to WrestleMania. He was losing a lot of his big matches. And he won the gauntlet match. He's challenging Gunther, who is the longest reigning IC champ of all time. Just about 2 years now. He's had the belt, I believe June of 2022 is when he won it. Yeah, this is another situation kind of like the Rhea and Becky thing, where I feel like we haven't had a true viable contender for Gunther in quite a while. I think Chad Gable was the last one that I really felt might have had a chance. And Gable has been a big part of this story. He was the last person Sammy beat and to win the gauntlet match. And Gable very much said, I need to get revenge on Gunther. He made my daughter cry when he beat me last year. So Gable seems to want revenge on Gunther. But I also am getting a sneaking suspicion that this might be another possible heel turn situation. He's been training Sammy in the lead up to this match, but he was beaten up, supposedly, by Gunther on Raw this past week. But we didn't see the beatdown actually really happen. So there's a little part of me that thinks Gable might cost Sammy the match for some reason, and they might be in cahoots to cost Sammy. I hope that's not the case here, because Gable is so lovable, Sammy is so lovable. I want them both to just stay good guys forever until the end of time at this point. Assuming the match goes straight up, I still think long-term, Sammy could definitely win this championship. Short-term, I think Gunther holds on to it for now. I think this is just the beginning of a larger ongoing story for all parties involved in this match, I want to say. I think Sammy could very well win this a little bit further down the line, or maybe challenge Gunther for a world title down the line, because I think Gunther becomes a world champion later this year. But right now, I think Gunther is going to get the win here. This should be a hell of a match, but I think this is going to be part one of a longer story, if I had to guess.
Yeah, that seems about right. I think Gunther will probably keep it. He's got a lot of momentum right now. Sammy, he's still likable, but I feel like he's had a little bit of a dip since the Bloodline has stopped being with him and since him and KO are back together. So I think they're going to try to ride this Gunther wave as far as they can.
So the main event of night one, we have a tag team match. We have Cody Rhodes and the World Heavyweight Champion Seth Rollins facing off against the top two members of the Bloodline. We have Roman Reigns and wrestling properly for the first time in 11 years. We have The Rock. What a tangled web we weave to get here, folks, huh? So, as you recall, Cody Rhodes won the Royal Rumble, and 5 days later on SmackDown, he decided, I'm not going to challenge you at WrestleMania. I will let The Rock challenge you at WrestleMania. And the reaction to that from a lot of the fans, not so positive. They said they wanted Cody in the match. They chanted very loudly. They took to social media saying, we want Cody. Cut to about a week later at the press conference, they decide to make a pivot. Cody decides, you know what? I won the Royal Rumble. I'm going to use this opportunity, and I'm going to go for Roman at WrestleMania after all. Finish my story. The Rock, not so happy with this. He thought that Cody disrespected his family and everything like that. That was the original main crux of this, was that The Rock perceived Cody was disrespecting his family with some of the things that he said. So he slapped Cody at the press conference, and that got us kind of to where we are now. Seth Rollins was also on stage feeling disrespected by both Rock and Roman. So that's his side of things. He is going to be Cody's partner through this whole deal. And the last 2 months, we have had a lot of The Rock on TV, more than Roman Reigns has been on TV, doing a lot of build-up here. And The Rock, as I never would have expected, actually turned heel for this program here. So The Rock has been a bad guy. He reverted back sort of to his Hollywood Rock persona. He has the old Hollywood Rock theme song from 2003, and he's just been a nasty, nasty guy. He was calling everyone in Phoenix, Arizona, crackheads, a line that Manny and I have laughed at quite a bit since we heard it, and he's just been beating the hell out of Cody and Seth now for the last couple weeks. There's a major beatdown last week on Raw, and then another one this past week where Seth and Cody got whooped with The Rock's weight belt. This one got very personal, but you notice a lot of this has just been The Rock's side of things. Roman has been on TV here and there a little bit, but he's largely taken a backseat in this whole story here, which I find to be interesting. I can't imagine a lot of this is not intentional, but I'm a little confused at how this has been presented in that regard. I would think this is an opportunity to bring Roman up to The Rock's level, but Roman has instead kind of taken a backseat. I think longer term, this will pay off in its own way, but as of right now, Roman's side of things, I wish were a bit better represented in the build-up to these matches, because it just kind of feels like Roman, the character, and maybe even the guy in general, just doesn't really care at this particular point in time. It feels like The Rock is definitely relishing in all of this, but Roman just doesn't feel quite as into it, which has been the only real bummer of this build. This has been an excellently built match. It's not often you get a non-title tag team match main eventing at WrestleMania, even if it is just night one. That shows you how big this match is and has become. And this is just the biggest representative of how hot WWE is right now as a company. And yeah, this will be the match with the most eyes on it all weekend. I think it's going to deliver. I've heard they've been carefully rehearsing it pretty much throughout this entire week, making sure The Rock's in shape, making sure everyone knows their role, no pun intended, and knows what to do when we get to match time. The stipulations for this match will dictate the stipulation for night two when Cody faces Roman for the championship. If the Bloodline wins, then Sunday night's match gets to be Bloodline rules, which means anything goes, and the Bloodline can feel free to interfere however much they want. If Cody and Seth win, then that means everyone's barred from ringside. We get a straight-up one-on-one match for the championship on Sunday. I mean, the bad guys are going to win this one here. I think they got Seth to be the guy who takes the fall for this match. And, you know, if I'm Seth Rollins, I'm still happy with that overall, I would say. Because he definitely, you know, of these four people, he definitely feels like the lowest on the totem pole of a star, even though he's the world champion on the Raw side of things. And I think he does take the fall. I think the bad guys win. We'll see how many shenanigans we have in this match here. But I think no matter how this match goes, it will end setting up Bloodline rules for night two and a lot of chaos to ensue. So I'm going with Roman and The Rock on night one.
I think Cody and Seth lose this and Rock and Roman win this. Now, that's just my guess. I'm not a wrestling person, but that's my guess. Let's go on to night two. Continuing on with night two, we have the World Heavyweight Champion Seth freaking Rollins versus Drew McIntyre. Drew's probably going to win this. I feel like he's just sort of got that it thing right now. So yeah, Drew's going to win it, in my opinion.
This match has gone through a few changes of its own. When CM Punk was around, before he got hurt at the Royal Rumble, everyone expected this to be the match between Punk and Rollins, which obviously is not taking place. Drew McIntyre has turned heel the last couple months. He's just become more and more of a slimy bad guy. He's hater of the year. He injured CM Punk, and then he attacked him after he injured him. He's been attacking Rollins regularly, both in the ring and on social media. And Rollins was hurt at one point in the build, but he has been cleared, and he wrestled this past Monday on Raw. I think people were expecting Rollins to come back so he could drop the title to whoever and then take some time off, which could still happen. I think even if Rollins does stick around, this belt is going to go to Drew McIntyre. I think they will, if nothing else, tell the story that Rollins might, you know, not have recovered from night one, obviously, because it was the last match the previous night and then first match the next night. So I think McIntyre wins here. They also have Clash at the Castle happening in Scotland in a couple months, a pay-per-view that I'm sure Drew is going to be all over, and I expect he will walk into that show as the champion. So I expect a title change here. The first title change for the World Heavyweight Championship, because Seth has held it since he became the first champion about a year ago.
Next up, we have a Philadelphia street fight between Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits, aka Angelo Dawkins and Montez Ford. And they're going up against the Final Testament, Karrion Kross, Akam, and Rezar. I don't know who any of those last three are. I kind of know who Karrion Kross is, but not really. So we're going to go with the Street Profits because of Montez Ford and Bobby Lashley.
The match I think people overall, myself included, care the least about on this entire show. It's been built up for a couple months now, but not very compelling. This pairing between the Profits and Lashley hasn't really worked, I think, for any party involved, in my opinion. And Karrion Kross is someone I couldn't possibly care about. And Manny doesn't even know who he is or who the Authors of Pain are. So that tells you all you need to know. The street fight stipulation will probably make this one be fun. I hope it's a fairly short, fun sprint of a weapons match. I expect Lashley and the Profits to win this one here. Won't be surprised if it goes the other way, but I expect the good guys to win, and hopefully this feud can end.
Next up, LA Knight, yeah, versus AJ Styles. I think Knight is going to win this. He needs sort of that bump to keep going and keep being in the people's minds, so I'm going to go with LA Knight, yeah.
These two have been at each other's throats for a while. They were rivals in the Fatal 4-Way build to Royal Rumble when they were challenging Roman along with Randy Orton. And AJ has also been a great contender for Hater of the Year. He flew all the way across the world to Australia just to cost LA Knight the Elimination Chamber match. Literally, that's the only reason he flew like 20 hours, however long it is to get there. I don't know how long it is. Alec would know. He flew all the way over there just to cost LA Knight the match. And LA Knight has not been happy. Most recently, he went to AJ's house. Didn't invade his home. He was outside his house, but they did get into a fight on AJ's front lawn. He got arrested and then last week posed as a cameraman to try and get at AJ once AJ finally showed back up on SmackDown. So there's a lot of hate in this rivalry here. I think this is going to be an LA Knight showcase match. I think this is where he gets to have one of his big moments. Obviously, he didn't get to win the championship last year, but a big WrestleMania moment defeating an iconic wrestler like AJ Styles is going to be a nice little notch in your belt. So I think LA Knight gets the win here. Next up, sticking with SmackDown, a very SmackDown-heavy night here. Triple threat match, Logan Paul, the U.S. champ, defending against Randy Orton and Kevin Owens. This is one of the harder ones to predict of the whole weekend, I think. Could very easily see Logan Paul dropping the belt here. I just assumed he was going to drop the belt to whoever at WrestleMania, whoever he ended up facing. I had long thought it was going to be LA Knight, and then they went a different direction. Yeah, this one could really go any of these three ways. I think no matter what, we're going to get a very special RKO to Logan Paul. I don't know how it's going to happen, but there's going to be a huge stunt, some athletic stunt that is going to lead to an unforgettable RKO. Because they're obsessed with going viral, and Logan Paul is the person to do that with. Hard to say whether this will actually lose him the match, but I think we definitely get a huge RKO from Randy Orton.
Now, guys, I hate to say this. I think Logan is going to win this, and he's going to be one of the main selling points of SummerSlam. So we're going to say that Logan is going to do it.
If I had to guess, I would say Randy does take this one. Manny mentioned Logan Paul is going to be the big star for SummerSlam because it's in Cleveland, his hometown. I agree, which is why I think he will be going for a world championship at SummerSlam, and thus I don't think he'll need to be U.S. champion. I think he loses it here, either to Orton or Owens. My gut is going to go with, you know, now that I say this, I'm going to change my mind. I'm actually going to go with Kevin Owens here, because I think Randy Orton is on to bigger things after WrestleMania. Different rivalries, maybe on a different brand, feuding with a new world champion, perhaps, is kind of what I'm thinking. So I've talked myself out of it. I'm going to go with Kevin Owens here.
The WWE Women's Champion, Io Sky, defending against Bayley. I think Io's going to get knocked down a peg. I think Bayley's going to win it, show her what she has always been able to do, and sort of stick it to her face.
Bayley won the Royal Rumble. Damage control turned on her. Bayley was smart enough to see it coming, and she knew that they had been scheming behind her back for a while. And then she got betrayed by Dakota Kai, who rejoined Damage Control after her injury. That's what got us here. Obviously, the Damage Control story has split off into two matches throughout WrestleMania. This is the more personal one. I always want to assume the Royal Rumble winner is going to win the championship. That's what Manny predicted. He said Io is going to get knocked down a peg here. I've seen some people saying that they don't think that's going to happen, but I think Bayley does pull off the championship here. I think that's the story could very well continue, but I think as of right now, the story is going to go in Bayley's direction. I think she has a lot of momentum, and I hope they keep it up, and that will include a win and hopefully a great match here over Io Sky. So the main event of night two of the weekend as a whole, if you want to say, the undisputed WWE Universal Championship, Roman Reigns defending against Cody Rhodes.
The guy has to finish the story. He's about to finally finish his story. He's going to get the belt, and it's going to be all over for Cody. Now, what happens after that? Who knows? But I think Cody is finally going to take the belt away from Roman, and it'll be the end of that. So those are my guesses.
So obviously the night one prediction does feed into the night two prediction. I think we get bloodline rules here, and I think we get a massively overbooked match. If you don't know what overbooking means, that just means a lot of outside parties being involved in the match. I think, obviously, the Bloodline rules does lend itself to that. I think we get interference by all members of the Bloodline, from Solo to Jimmy to The Rock. I think we get some... I've seen some speculation that we get Cody's Avengers, who are fighting back against the Bloodline. People who have been wronged by the Bloodline. There have been speculation about John Cena coming back. Stone Cold has never factored directly into this, but people do expect Stone Cold to be interjected into here, giving one more stunner to The Rock for old time's sake and helping the new face of the company, the new babyface, finally get his conquering moment here. I also think we could see either The Rock or Roman turning on each other. I could see it happening either way here, but I think we're still getting The Rock versus Roman Reigns at some point, probably next year at this time at WrestleMania. And if they start to plant those seeds here, I could definitely see that happening, whether it's The Rock turning face or, you know, I could see that going a variety of ways. But the ultimate way I see this all going in terms of who gets that 1-2-3 at the end, I do think Cody finally finishes his story here. I really hope he does, because it's been a year of waiting for this to happen, knowing this was the match they were probably going to do, almost getting that match ripped away from us for The Rock versus Roman, and then getting it back here. I think Roman's been checked out with his recent performances, like I said. I think he has been less of a factor. I think he's taking more time off after WrestleMania, which he would do if he was champion as well. But I think they're finally finishing the story. I think Cody is finally getting his big win in the main event of WrestleMania. And this part of the Bloodline story is going to come to an end. I think Roman finally drops the championship. I'm sure he'll be a world champion again in his career. I'm sure that will happen. But it's Cody's time. I really don't think they can delay any longer. I think they do need to finish this part of the story. And I really, really hope they do. I got really into last year's match because I was so confident it was going to be Cody. And then they got me. They made me so mad. And then they got me back over the course of the year. It's been a good year of WWE, of their television product. And this is a WrestleMania I've been very excited for. Most excited I've been for WrestleMania in many, many years. And I'm hoping they culminate with a fantastic, silly, overbooked mess of a match that has the happy ending that fans have been wanting for over a year now. I hope they finally do it. I think they are finally going to do it. And Manny does agree with me on that as well. So that is WrestleMania, both nights of WrestleMania. That's how we feel about both of those nights of action. We're recording this before SmackDown airs on Friday. If they add any matches last minute, obviously we're not going to be able to preview those. So if any of them get added, then they're not going to factor into our overall predictions. But we will come back to this. We will see who had the edge with the predictions overall when we do our recap of WrestleMania, which should be sometime next week. Thank you all for joining us, and we will see you next week to recap WrestleMania 40. Bye-bye, folks.